Our scripture reading this morning is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. You've all heard it. We'll be reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 13, but I invite you to listen in a new way, perhaps with a thought towards hospitality. Let us listen for the word of God. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May God bless our hearing and receiving of these holy words. Did anything jump out at you new hearing at this time? Any word for us, Sharon? It's still up there. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We'll talk about that. Anything else? Be a wise bridesmaid. Let's see what that means. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. You know neither the day nor the hour. I do not know you. What a horrifying thing to hear. You've worked so hard to be noticed, to be appreciated, to deserve recognition, to be successful, and then you hear, "I do not know you." It chills you to the bone, takes the wind out of your sails. It's devastating. We all want to be noticed, appreciated, successful even. Not all of us are fond of the limelight. We know that fame can be fickle, so we find ourselves constantly working to be liked, to avoid controversy or argument. Okay, anybody here today willing to admit that you are a people pleaser? I am. I think it's part of my job. Nothing scares us more than having someone important say to us, "I do not know you." What happens if I'm rejected? What if I'm wrong? That's one of our biggest fears in this divisive and divided society we live in, being wrong. What if they say, "I do not know you"? Now, you would think that these 10 bridesmaids in Jesus' parable would be known by someone in the wedding party. The wedding has long been planned. The participants have been lined up. The guests invited. We do have a bridegroom, or rather we will have a bridegroom when he shows up. We do have a wedding announced. In fact, the festivities have begun. The bridesmaids taking their lamps and going out to meet the bridegroom. Everything is in place except the arrival of the groom. Sounds a lot like the second coming of Jesus. The kingdom has begun. We can begin to participate in it, but it will not be complete until Jesus shows up, until Jesus returns to set all of creation back into right relationship with God. Like I said, the normal picture of the kingdom is God as groom, or Jesus, and Israel, or the church, in the New Testament stories, as the bride. But in this case, Jesus never mentions a bride. In today's parable, the church is represented by 10 bridesmaids who went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise, we read. We are told this up front because we can't tell otherwise that there's any difference between them. They all belong to the church. They apparently look similar enough by outward appearances. They all go out to meet the groom. And they all get tired of watching and waiting and fall asleep. Apparently, staying awake is not a critical factor in this story. So, just like the New Testament church was experiencing at that time when the Gospel of Matthew was written, the bridegroom Jesus was expected to come at any moment, but he was delayed. Remember, though, so many of Jesus' parables already continuing to remind us that God's judgment is coming at any moment, like a thief in the night. They seem to explain why Jesus has not returned, but also warn us that his return is imminent. Clearly, the issue in this parable must be the difference between the so-called foolish and wise bridesmaids. They were both invited to the wedding. They both came prepared for the bridegroom with a lamp and oil ready. They both became drowsy and slept. Both groups of bridesmaids fell asleep, but one group was prepared for the bridegroom's delay. The other group was not. One group was prepared for this time between when God came into our world in Jesus, beginning the kingdom on earth, the right relationship with God that Jesus lived and modeled for the rest of us, and the time when Jesus will return again with the completion of God's kingdom on earth. The other group was not ready to go meet the bridegroom when he finally came. So the difference between the two groups of bridesmaids is that one group had enough oil stored up and the other did not. This raises the question of what the oil represents for those of us who wish to be wise, to be prepared, filled with the Holy Spirit, perhaps, and to enter the wedding banquet, which represents the kingdom of God. When Jesus returns to judge all creation, what will count as wise preparedness? The later parable of the sheep and goats indicates that deeds of love and mercy, hospitality, in obedience to the great commandment, are essential. In fact, many Jewish traditions used oil as a symbol of good deeds. Now, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount earlier in Matthew indicates that having correct beliefs without a corresponding lifestyle of love and service is a disaster. Readiness in the Gospel of Matthew means living the life of the kingdom, of hospitality, the quality of life found in the Sermon on the Mount. That includes the Beatitudes, the meek, the righteous, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. It includes admonitions to be salt and light for the world, warnings against anger, lust, oaths, and retaliation. It includes Jesus' lesson on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It includes teachings about forgiveness, and finally, deeds of loving kindness, even loving your enemies and offering hospitality to those who persecute you. I think we can see that the last verse that says, "Keep awake, therefore," is not exactly the important message. In fact, the Greek word Gregorio is usually used in this gospel to mean be prepared, a more fitting message for this parable than just being awake. The five wise bridesmaids were prepared for the bridegroom not because they stayed awake and frantically watched for any sign that Jesus was returning. Rather, they made sure that they were ready ahead of time in case he came. And they were thus able to sleep in confidence, peacefully, while the foolish maids in the world must sleep fitfully and panicky, that some horrible ending is coming at any moment, not at all confident in their readiness. Just a few verses later in the sheep and goats parable, we learn that we might not even be aware that Jesus is already present in certain circumstances, and thus the kingdom as well. Perhaps the kingdom shows up whenever we feed the hungry, quench their thirst, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, or visit the prisoner. So being prepared for the bridegroom and the kingdom of God might mean readiness to recognize Jesus or one of God's other beloved children and to act in loving kindness or hospitality at a moment's notice. Again, we are reminded that Jesus will return to judge all of creation, to bring all of creation into right relationship with God. The bridegroom finally comes in today's parable. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you." When Jesus shows up as the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, or the prisoner, will he know you? When Jesus returns in the fullness of God's kingdom, whenever that might be, will he know you? Will you be ready, prepared for any opportunity to serve God or God's beloved children when you walk in the front door of this church, when you drive away for lunch, when you walk into your own front door at home? Are you ready at the grocery store, the doctor's office, the library, City Hall, Salvation Army, your own neighborhood? Are you ready to take your hospitality to the streets? Will you be known as a disciple of Jesus? Will you be known by Jesus? You know, I've talked an awful lot about practicing kingdom living, practicing living in God's kingdom now so God can grow his kingdom on earth through our lives. I've talked a lot about second chances that that God still gives us to get it right. But I'm not talking about earning our place in the kingdom or deserving a place. It doesn't work that way. Only by God's grace can we ever find any success in becoming followers of Jesus. Only by God's forgiveness can we ever be acceptable in God's presence and in God's sight. Only by God's love for you and for each one of us can we ever be recognized as a beloved son or daughter of God. It is by being prepared through the grace of God, by accepting that relationship with God through Jesus, trusting in God's love and forgiveness, that we find our assurance that we are known and will be known by Jesus even for eternity. Wow. So by the grace of God, we are known by Jesus. Good news. We have nothing to earn, just gratitude that we are known, we belong. And how will we show our gratitude to God? Being prepared to serve Jesus and serve God's children with hospitality, taking it to the streets in gratitude. Our take-home question, what is it that identifies you or this church as a follower of Jesus? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, why you love us troublesome human beings that we are, even those of us trying to do our best, trying to be Christians, trying to be respectable, acceptable, and we fail moment by moment, day by day. And you love us so much that you've already forgiven us, and you can't even see those things once they're done. You just see us, and you see Jesus in us. Oh, if we could only see Jesus in each other and in all others, wouldn't that warm your heart? Oh God, we ask you to warm our hearts with love that will enable us, energize us to reach out, to go out outside the walls of the church with your hospitality, your love, to live out that love that you've taught us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.